To see, we are live.
Yes. Okay. So, good evening. Welcome.
Hello, thank you.
For today, we are going to talk about lessons that are not always subjects. Okay. Maybe life lessons or something that we learned from someone else. And not all lessons come from textbooks or come from the classroom. And some of the most unforgettable teachers in our lives never handed out homework, and they gave us the courage and laughter and wisdom and the direction that we decided to go with or that we chose. So maybe it was your parents, maybe a coach, maybe a sibling, older sibling, or even a stranger that you met on a bus. So these people all guided us and shaped us into who we are. And even if we didn't realize it at the time, I think that they do have a special, let's say, effect on our lives, even if we didn't know it. So I'm going to ask you some questions about lessons in your life and the people in your life, things that you learned in the past. And let's see how it goes. I have some silly questions.
Good. I'm in the need of silly questions today.
So first, I want you to think about who taught you something that stuck with you, even when you didn't realize it at that time. So, what was the lesson and why do you still carry it today? And then tell us about the teacher or the mentor or the person who guided you, who left this lasting impact on your life, and what did it teach you? I don't know how to answer the
Actually, like I have, but it's not like that big thing. But in that moment, it's like I need this advice in that moment. But after that, I carry it with me all the time, and actually, I give it to others because it changed my life. So I'm not like that good one to speak in public, and I tried my best, but I always afraid of it. But when I go and speak, especially in presentation, I think everything's smooth. No one will see that I'm hesitated or something, but it's effect on me. But so one of my managers told me it's like in a different context, but I take this advice and I took this advice and I apply it in this certain situation. He told me it's the matter is like the first few words. Even if you're gonna just say hi, how are you, everyone? My name is like this. The few words you need to like remember it as your name. It's fine to even it's like silly sentence. You need to write it. Try all the day, remember it to not forget it, and then if it's go like it's the beginning. If it goes right, everything better will be like you will be comfortable. So I found it is good advice actually, and it's true. It's really true. Even if like I'm very well knowing of this subject, but speaking in public is not that easy. And
No.
also explain your ideas is not that easy. So we should not like let the first moments affect on us, like, oh, I didn't see this right. No. You need to like remember your lines in the beginning. After that, it'll all come like automatically. So it's good advice actually.
Yes. So it kind of reminds me of the speeches that we had to do in school. So we had to do an Afrikaans speech or an English speech. And then you write down your speech word for word and you practice it like a parrot. You want to repeat every single word until you stand in front of the class and you forget everything. And then you look at your notes and try to remember what you want to say. And then you mess up the whole speech.
which is then why it goes up into companies that when people give presentations, they create PowerPoint slides full of text, because that is their crutch with which they can then read from the PowerPoint slide.
Yes.
And I would say, well, no, just put a picture on there. Put something that visualizes what you're talking about.
Yes.
And you should know what you are talking about because it's your subject. Yeah.
Yes.
But no.
I think it also depends on the language. Mm-hmm. If you are used to speaking English and now you have to do, let's say, something in French or something in Arabic or something in Afrikaans, then it gets a little bit confusing, complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
People are very different when they speak a different language, a foreign language. Their personality can actually change quite dramatically.
Yes. Yeah? Yes.
That's true. Yeah.
Will you speak German? I want to hear if you sound as angry as the German people.
Well, I
does your
I,
personality also change?
Well, I kid you not, because I was in a relationship many, many years ago, and the woman said she actually preferred speaking English with me because she could practice her English free, gratis, and for nothing. But she said I was actually a nicer person when speaking English than speaking German. Yeah. The problem there, Janita, is that if I speak German, you would have actually no idea what I'm saying. Maybe you can use your Afrikaans to build a little bridge, but I could be saying the sweetest, most wonderful things, and it would
you'll sound angry.
Exactly. So I think for the sake of harmony, I will not shock you by speaking German or possibly French. French is actually a much more beautiful language to speak and listen to. The trouble is that when I speak French and I sort of see people's brows beginning to wrinkle between their eyes and say, okay, they are not quite understanding what I'm trying to say. So
yes,
I will backtrack. But no, I don't think I will make you suffer through having to listen to my German. Sorry.
Okay. Sarah, what about you? This afternoon I had a mom, I heard her shouting there in the background in Arabic. Do you think Arabic is an aggressive language, or do you think it's a nice language? What do you think?
I think it's all about the tone. It's all about the tone, but I think Arabic is like a lot of letters and we are speaking fast. Maybe if you saw others hear this. So yes, so it maybe feels like they are shouting each other.
Maybe.
And other thing, I found maybe some of our, like, they all, their voice is high, higher than the others. So maybe that's like nice too, but actually because the voice is high, so they think they are shy. But it's actually, maybe it's, they are lettering, maybe.
Yes. So it also depends on the person. Yes. But I know, I've heard some students explain to each other things in some of my other classes, and they also, like, it Sounds like they are fighting with each other because they speak so fast. They try to explain exactly the message that they want to get through in a quick and simple way, but sometimes it
But you know, like
sounds
I feel
aggressive.
sometimes, yes, it's, but I don't know actually Italian or Spanish, but I found our like we have this magic, how they, we are using our hands, we are have like we check with emotion, like not we use emotion. So for example, now when I'm talking, I'm doing things with my hand to explain. So we yes. So I found those like similar to Italian also and Spanish.
You're gesticulating, yeah. You're speaking very actively
Yes.
okay. Well, you know, I'm just sitting here quiet. You can see me probably, Sarah, but I'm just sitting here quietly, minding my own business, and Janita is doing what Janita does, yeah. The only thing I do is I swivel back and forth on my chair. Yeah, I'm.
Yes, you swing on your chair.
Yeah.
No, actually, Yanita is amazing. She's just sometimes only her eyes moving. If she like
Only my eyes
taking a
moving.
short, yes, if the dogs do something or her kid bend back to it. So she has this amazing control.
When my son does something.
Yes, like
Oh,
this
when I look to see if I can see him.
yes.
I'll
He's
tell you.
in bed now, so I don't have any distractions.
Sarah, I'll tell you something. Before you joined us, Janita and I were chit-chatting, and I asked her what brand headphones she uses because I find the audio quality quite good. And normally when I see Janita, all I see is this face and these things over her ears. And then she took them off. And I mean, I've seen lots and lots of pictures of Janita, so I know what she looks like, but it was such an unusual image. I thought, wow, hang on a minute. This is not her. She's got these things sticking on her ears.
So now that you mentioned that, I had a while back when I had to do some tests for students as well, and I used to include a bonus question. And at that time, there were still handwritten tests. So I would send like a PDF document and they would have to complete it by hand and then send it back, like scan it or take a picture with your phone and then I have to mark it. And the one bonus question I said, draw your teacher. She'll probably be back now. But I said, draw your teacher for like 5 points. About 90% of the students draw me with my headsets. I was sitting on the beach, but wearing headsets.
I mean, it was quite horrible. This is what, hang on, hang on. It's almost like,
That's
oh,
different.
my God, I've seen her ears. My goodness. Oh.
You have an ear fetish?
That's for me to know and for you to find out.
Okay.
Anyway, so while we're waiting for Sarah to rejoin us, do you want to? I've forgotten the question. Do you want to throw the same question at me?
Yes.
So I can actually produce some intelligent answer maybe for this evening.
Okay. So, who taught you something that stuck with you, even when you didn't realize it at the time? So, what was the lesson and why do you still carry it today? Then it can be a teacher, a mentor, maybe a guide, someone who had a lasting impact on your life. And what did they teach you?
So the person in question was actually my uncle,
Okay.
the wife of my mother's sister, a husband of my mother's sister. And he was a graphic designer. He worked from home. And I did not see him very often because this was the period when I was living in Australia. And we flew back to Europe every 3 years, and then we would sort of stay with the relatives, the few that we have had. And I always liked his studio, which for me at that time was this huge room with two large windows looking at the back into the back garden, lots of fruit trees and lawn and so on and so forth. And then on his left, on the left side of when you're looking out the window, on his left side, he had this huge bookcase full of books and art books and memorabilia. And then he had his two very large desks, sort of these drawing desks, and there was, paper and crayons and pencils and art stuff everywhere. And I just loved that room and the whole atmosphere. And we sort of got talking about his job and so on and so forth. He was a freelance graphic artist. And he gave me a task to do. He said, draw a car.
Okay.
He gave it to me, I think, at 9 o'clock in the morning or somewhere very early in the morning. And he said, and show me what you have done this afternoon or this evening. So I must have started my overcomplicating and overthinking phase at this stage of my life. Anyway, so I had visions of drawing this fantastic picture, the pictures that he had drawn or some of the artwork that he had done, and I could watch him do, and the photography and all the stuff that goes with his job.
Yes.
And I wanted to create this perfect image of a car. I wanted it to be 100% perfect.
Yes.
He comes, you probably know where this is leading to. So in the afternoon, he asked me, so what have you done? And I handed him a blank piece of paper because
A blank piece of paper.
I hadn't done anything. I had so overcomplicated the process. Yeah, you can stop laughing now for a minute because you're going to use this against me, I know.
No, I won't.
Oh, gosh.
I know the feeling.
anyway, so I handed him this piece of paper, and he was maybe genuinely disappointed or acting genuinely disappointed, but he said, and this is the lesson that he gave me. And it really, I don't know how old I was at the time, maybe 11 or a bit younger. He said, doing something bad is still better than not doing anything at all, because the bad can be made and improved upon.
Yes.
And didn't quite resonate with me at that time, but
Yes.
now, 50 plus years later, I still have this image. I mean, I could describe to you exactly the place in that room where it happened.
Yes.
And it has stuck with me ever since. I think the man invented beta versions before Microsoft and all other computer companies did. Yeah, because it was a process. And he said, you
Yes.
start with something, and then if you're not happy with it, you keep improving upon it until you are happy with it, or
Yes.
the customer is happy with it, or whoever you're doing it for is happy with it.
Yes.
And it sort of filters through and what we do now. I mean, there's a lot of stuff floating around in this breeder world of ours at the moment, which is sort of
Yes.
like half baked and half finished, but it will eventually get there.
Yes. I'm just thinking of like when I did the voice pavilion design. I had this man standing on a pavilion in front of other people with a microphone, and I hated the picture. So I deleted it and I started over.
I
I
mean,
didn't even try to improve it. I deleted it completely.
that is actually one thing that would genuinely interest me is of all the artwork that you have done for Breeder, how many times did you do something? I mean, I remember the banners. We were talking about the banners, the background
Yes.
banners, for quite a while. And I mean, I still think that the mirror image that is, it's not quite perfect, but it may get changed
It grew
eventually.
on me.
It's sort of grown on me as well.
Yes.
But anyway, but I do wonder how many designs you discarded in the process before you sent me the ones that you said, okay, these are good?
I know there's definitely the voice pavilion. I deleted the one and I created the new one. And then sometimes what I would do, I would start with a design, I would start with an image, and then I would change it. I would change the colors. I would change if I want to add a border, or then I will delete the border. Then I will see, maybe I can add a different picture. Maybe I can add something swirly. Like that design behind you, that's also one of the big headaches I had.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, we'll talk about that. While we're speaking of all of this, and Sarah's in situ here with us, and you know we're doing all these experience points, etc. So Sarah posted her haikus
Yes, this
this
morning.
morning. Okay, so do we have in this whole experience point scenario, points allocated for people doing something? So did we have points allocated for
No,
Sarah?
actually not.
So because I was sort of mentally thinking that when I saw this, I thought, oh, maybe we should give Sarah, she's got 90 points, I think, or 80 points for the haikus that she's written. So should we give Sarah bonus points for actually making the effort of posting these words?
Yes.
What? Give me a number between zero and infinity.
Let's do, how about 15? 15 points.
Okay, and I have to go back to all the Sarah. How many times have you posted the words? Do you know offhand?
Think it's,
I think it's for now.
Nine or ten
Yeah.
times, I think.
Yeah, it's like 2.5 months, maybe. So yes, maybe it's nine or so. Yes, it's around nine.
Because the art therapy is now on week eight, and I think the haiku started 2 weeks before that, if not 3 weeks.
Okay, since my math is appalling, I'm going to manually top up your points account, Sarah, by 150 points. As a little thank you for posting all these haikus.
Thank you.
Okay. And then Janita and I are talking about badges and certificates, etc. This is one of these
Yes.
things. This is one of these things. It goes back to my uncle, yeah. We talked about it. And then I had to find some software that can actually do what I want it to do in the breeder community.
Yes.
And somewhere it's supposed to all happen automatically, but it's not. Yeah. So this is one of these things that it starts, it's running sort of on half steam. And over time, when I learn how to correct all the bugs, I will then make it automatic. And then you post something and it automatically increases your point tally. And then it leads to something and to something further. So there we are. My uncle, rest, may his soul rest in peace. Inspired this conversation and led to a direct result to Sarah getting 150 points for
Great.
posting these haikus. There you go. Thank you, Rolf, for doing this. Voila, your nephew has learned his lesson.
I at the beginning I said I don't know how to answer this question, but I actually thought about my English teachers. So they were my favorite teachers, and it was also my favorite subject in school. Apart from art, I loved art. We only had that in primary school, but I didn't like the teacher. It was
Mrs.
Mrs. Fainter,
Finter, Finter,
her
the poor woman,
surname. Yes, Fainter. Yes, poor woman.
Finte.
I can still remember her name, and I was like 10 years old or 11. But the other teachers, the English teachers in primary school, there were two. You have Mrs. Ruiz and Mrs. Roots, both with R. So Mrs. Ruiz was a very, very old lady. I think she was close to retirement. I think she had 2 good years left before retirement. She was very strict. She had set rules in her class and she liked things to happen in a certain way, but she was also very, very soft and caring and kind. And if you listened to her and you did your homework, you never got in trouble.
Was she your first pineapple encounter?
No.
Prickly on the outside, but very soft on the inside?
No, that was my grade one teacher.
Okay.
Mrs. Krill. She had flaming red hair, spiky red hair. She was spiky on the outside, literally and figuratively. But she was also soft on the inside. And now she's grey. She doesn't wear the spiky hair anymore. She's very old. I still see her from time to time and she knows me. My grade one teacher.
Going back a couple of years.
That is about 29 years, 28 years. 28. Yes, that's a long time. And then the other one is Mrs. Roots. So she was also angry, not at everyone, just the naughty boys. But she also had a, so the lesson that I actually learned from her was to, this is going to sound very cheesy, but so cliche, never give up. And the reason for that is she was in a very bad car accident. And she actually had to stay away from school for, I think it was 4 months. And she came back for 2 months and then she was away for another 3 months because she went for operations all the time. She hurt her knee, her ankle, and she had to get a knee replacement. And then she had problems with her hip. So she had to get that looked at and taken care of after this accident. And now she's doing much better. I actually saw her not too long ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago in the supermarket. And she also recognizes me. She knows who I am. And that was also a couple of years ago. But just the way that she handled the whole situation, she never gave up. She's still teaching. She's still working at the same school that she was when I was in the school. And but I think she also has the whole support system of her husband and her kids and even the teachers at school. But that was one of the lessons, like no matter what happens, you can always come out on the other side, no matter how bad it is or how bad it was. And that's something that I still carry with me. And then the other teacher, Juffrou, or Mrs. Oosthuizen, she was my high school teacher, English teacher. She was angry.
She wasn't German, was she?
No, but she could have been. Okay. So let's do some fun questions. The first one, what is the weirdest thing someone ever taught you that turned out to be useful? So the weirdest thing someone taught you that turned out to be useful. I will start, but I have a story. Some time ago, yes, some time ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, I bought a bottle of wine. This wine had a cork. I thought it was just a screw lid. It had a cork. And this one evening, I decided I'm going to have wine, and I didn't have an opener. I went to my mom's house. They were on holiday. She took the opener with her. They went camping. So I was stuck with a bottle of wine and no way to open it. Then I found a way on Google, I think it was Google, a video that they showed you how to press the corkscrew into the bottle using a spoon, the backside of a spoon. It did not end well. I did have my glass of wine, but when the screw, when the cork goes into the bottle, it actually presses air outside and then it sprays like you would, if you shake a Coke bottle and you open it, it explodes. The wine explodes too because of the pressure that goes into the bottle. But that's not shown on the video. Recently, I learned a new trick.
What, you haven't bought a corkscrew since this incident?
I do have one. I do have one, but just in case. Just in case I get into the same situation and I can't open a bottle of wine. Or maybe it breaks, or maybe it goes missing, or maybe my son plays with it in the garden or something. You can take a knife. Then you stick the knife into the cork on the inside. And then you take a fork. You press the fork into the knife. And then you can turn it like you would a corkscrew, and then you pull it out. It looks easy on the video. I haven't tried it. But that's a much better way than what I did first.
This is amazing what you can learn living in France, where they produce wine almost on tap.
Yes.
But how can you be without a cork? I mean, the concept of not actually having a corkscrew at home is just beyond me. But okay, different country.
So I was living alone.
Hmm.
This was, we also moved. And I never had one because if I needed one, I just used my mom's. But because they went there, they went camping. She had to, or she took it with her because she also took wine with her. And I had no way to open the wine.
Did you leave a comment, putting it politely, for your mother? How dare she take the corkscrew with you?
No, I didn't. I had my wine. I was happy. I forgot about it. But I didn't forget about the wine stains. That was all over the kitchen.
Red? Was it red or white?
It was red.
Of
it
course,
was red.
Of course.
The walls were red.
Of course, yes. Yes, such a thing can actually be quite spectacular. Did you take any pictures of it?
No.
What,
no. I was too ashamed.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Sarah, what is the weirdest thing that someone taught you that turned out to be useful?
I think I have a lot of life hacks, but I don't remember any. But it came to my mind two things. First is things like in work. So when I just like fresh joined to work life and this thing, so my manager told me, so my just small context. So my laptop is needs some fixes and bugs and specifics, and I have like an IT background, but I worked as a BMO, so I shouldn't have any IT background. So he told me that we need to give it to the specialist, the IT specialist, to fix it. I said, no, no need. I can't do it by myself. I have all the skills. Then he told me I shouldn't, if in all the work places and different fields, if I'm not the one, it's not like this my job. There's like a person who dedicated to this kind of job. So I don't need to put an effort for things that not supposed to be, even if I can't do it. And this is not only like for fix the computer or internet, or maybe design a presentation or do it. Like there's like a designer team. So no need to do it by yourself. And in that moment, I was like, okay, I will do what you said. But in my head, why? It's easy. We can do this. But after like a good working experience, I found it actually, it's a truly advice. Even if I didn't like it in that moment. But yes, because there's like, I have a job and I'm supposed to do this thing. And the others, they pay them for their job. And also, they don't need to know that you have different skills than them. They will use it regarding your what are dedicated for. This is the first thing. The other thing, actually, it's a cooking hack. So, if you cook something very salty and you want to fix it, you add a potato. So my mom told me that. So I said, how can I add it? She said, okay, just cut it like big pieces and add it, then you can get it out. So when I do it, actually, it fixes all the problem. So I found that actually the potato can take all the flavors, not only even the salty. So if you cook, especially rice, if it's very salty and you see the water is salty, just add a potato and it will fix all the problem and take all the salt.
It absorbs the salties.
Yes.
Oh, potatoes, I do love
Yes. Yes, that's a very good hack. So my grandmother actually taught me that. I was like 7 years old. It didn't matter at the time. Like, why would you tell me that? Now I know. And then also what Sarah said reminded me of a manager I had. So he once said that if somebody asked him, "Do you know how to do this? Or can you help me to do this? Or I'm struggling with this," he would always say, no, sorry, I don't know. No, sorry, I don't know. But then I would see him do these things. I said, but how? How do you do this? Why do you do this? Why do you tell other people you can't do it, but then you do it behind their backs? A simple thing like changing the format of a Word document, or maybe ordering something through an online system or something. And then he said, the more you can do, the more they expect you to do. So that's why he just says, no, I can't do
And
it.
it's become in the end your responsibility, even if it's not supposed to
Exactly.
be.
If it's not your job or not in your job description, it becomes your responsibility. Yes. Yes. So, Frank, what did you learn that was actually useful? The
Nothing.
weirdest thing that you learned? Nothing. No, can't be.
You said, what did you actually learn that was useful? I'm struggling with this question. The weirdest thing that I learned that was useful, and I am really struggling with this question because at the moment I can't think of anything. I must have had a very sheltered life. I mean, there was one situation, but I didn't learn it. I observed something and I observed the action and I learned something from that action, but it wasn't weird. I don't know if that qualifies. Well, let me tell the story and
Yes.
then you can say meh or meh. I was at Stansted Airport in North London in the UK a few years ago. Actually, I might have told you this story, Yanita, I don't know. And I was waiting for my flight. I was still land side, so I hadn't gone through immigration and security. And I observed this man cleaning the airport concourse. And he had his trolley with all his cleaning materials. And the man did this really menial job with the greatest amount of dignity and pride imaginable. I was probably about 150 meters away from him, and there's lots of people milling around. So I couldn't really get a good glimpse at him, but I did actually sort of spot that his shoes were immaculately polished. And the whole demeanor of his this person and how he was doing his job, I thought, wow, somebody in his organization, in his line manager or his supervisor or somebody, he must have told this airport cleaner that his job is the most important job in the entire airport. And he believed it. And he acted accordingly. Yeah. Now, whether that qualifies as weird or not, I don't know. You need to decide that. But again, it's one of these peculiar, I think is the word I would actually use. Peculiar, strange, not weird, but peculiar, where somebody who, you know, and cleaners and people who do these important jobs, yeah, they are looked down upon. They are treated with very, very little respect. And you walk past them and, oh yeah, he's a cleaner. You know, he's not human, he's just the cleaner. Yeah.
Yes.
And sometimes you could say, well, they don't actually help themselves because, you know, they're wearing the uniform, it's maybe a bit scrubby, they're on low incomes, yeah. They probably lead, okay, cliche here, cliche there. They probably, they work in an environment where a lot of people spend a lot of money to fly from A to B, and they actually have never seen a plane from the inside or actually even sat in one and flown from A to B. Yet they finish. And I remember when I was working in this hotel, in the luxury hotel sector, you know, 50, 40, 50 years ago. 40. We were in this bubble of luxury. Yet we went home to our digs and it was, well, ordinary. Yeah, we might get the empty bottles or half empty bottles of some really expensive wine, and then we'd, you know, as we would sort of crowd around and have a glass each just to taste what, you know, to learn what these things taste like. That would cost an absolute fortune, and we could never afford to buy.
Yes.
It was just way beyond our budgets. Yeah, even if we saved for it, it would take years. Yeah. But getting back to this cleaner, it was a very peculiar experience because I have never seen anybody work with so much dignity, even high-ranking managers and powerful people and, you know, line managers and rank and file doing their job, who took pride in their work because somebody told them it's the most important job they have in the entire organization. Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting, peculiar. Whether it's weird or not, you need to decide.
No, but that's definitely something to learn. And it's also something that I learned when I worked in the pharmacy. Like, the cleaners were very important. They had to clean, let's say, spills in the aisles or messes somebody's kid made because they couldn't take care of the kid in the pharmacy. But that was also very important because it's a pharmacy. It had to be clean. And I would agree to say that the cleaners were the most important. And there were only two in the pharmacy. So sometimes they were busy washing or cleaning a different aisle, and then there would be a spill in another aisle. So it depends. We will all jump in to help them. So because we know that they are very busy in a big pharmacy. But I think it's very important to never look down on them because they do have important jobs and they are just human, just like us.
Exactly. Yeah. Very, very, very important lesson there. Yeah.
Yes. Sarah, what time do you have to go?
No, like 5 minutes back.
5 minutes. Okay. So we'll do one more question. Okay. This question: what animal best represents the teacher or the mentor who helped shape you, and why? What animal best represents the teacher or the mentor who helped shape you and why? I think mine was my hockey teacher. But we'll get to that.
Hang on, your hockey. Can you repeat the question? What animal best represents?
The teacher or mentor who helped shape you and why?
But you've really got to think around the corner of this one. I do like my Wednesday challenges. Sarah, you go ahead, because A, you've got less time than I have, and B, I'm still searching for an answer.
Well, I have one manager, so it's not like he putting a lot of effort, but I like how the way he's work, and he helped me in more in technical skills, actually, a lot of devices and technical skills. So if I will say animal, I will say turtle. Why? Because he is doing things very slowly, and even if he's under heat, and this is the thing that I love it about him, even if you see like under heat of like the managers, the top management, he never ever showed us this. And if it's like this thing need more time, he will never let us. Yes, and hurry, no, we will take our time. But I saw him sometimes, he's very slowly. So I would say turtle because, yeah, step by step, no need to hurry. If it's take day, we will give them like 3 days. Why we are in rush? But I like the part of him that he never like kept like if he had like and information or skills or anything that can help, he never kept it to himself, and he tried to help as much as he can. Also, I like that he never like put us under the heat, even if he is and is under the heat. But yes, I will say there's so. And I hope he's not angry. Hear me, but
he and my son will be good friends. My son is the same. Slow, he does everything slow. He dresses slowly, he eats slowly, he walks slowly. They will be good friends. Okay. Even if you put pressure on him, he doesn't, I don't know. Maybe he has a thick skin, same as a turtle.
Yeah, never
affected. Never affected, yes. I can see the smoke, Frank.
Well, allow me now to say goodbye. And I hope
Okay.
to know, you need to tell me, Anita, what's Frank and our next class.
Well,
What's
I will.
the truth?
I'll give you Anita the recording, and then you can judge.
Yes, then I'll send it to you.
Yes. It's like in the last, the time I should listen. No. Thank
Sarah,
you.
Yeah,
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. Sarah,
thank you, Sarah.
Take care. Bye-bye, Sarah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So, an animal.
Yes, that best represents a teacher or mentor who helped shape you and why?
Well, I had a brilliant English teacher, so that ties into the beginning of this.
Yes.
In my final year at high school in Australia, but I can't put an animal to him. Because he was in a class of his own. Fast forward, I've got a picture of him. Yes, I still have a picture of him, actually. But totally different story. The only thing that comes to mind spontaneously is when I was to, when I was training in the hotel industry, doing an apprenticeship, and we had the commercial director of the hotel,
Yes.
and he was a man on steroids. And you sometimes see it on cartoons that any animal that goes running around the corner, it sort of goes head first, and then you have this long body,
Yes.
and it's sort of elasticated, and this body,
Reminds me of Tom and Jerry.
yeah, exactly. I think, with Tom, I think chasing the mouse,
Yes.
and the back half of Tom would sort of like a like an elongated cat would run
Yes.
around the corner and sort of and disappear around the corner, and this commercial director, he was a little bit like that. You could you know, the guy, I mean, the guy, he was a really fast thinker, brilliant number cruncher, learned a lot from him, and he was always under pressure. Yeah, and sort of
Yes.
he he's you could see his head and shoulders went first, and his legs sort of came a couple of seconds afterwards. I mean, that was that's the closest I can get to answering that question. Yeah, but it shows that you've asked these questions, you've really got to think, and
Yes.
you've really got to think and dig deep in your own past and so on. So brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant.
So that's also why I thought about my hockey teacher. So when I played mostly in high school, not really in primary school, but in high school, we had a young hockey teacher. She was maybe teaching full time for her second or third year at high school, after finishing university. And she was nice and she was soft and she was caring until you got to the hockey field. Then her whole mindset and attitude and everything changed completely. She was a completely different person.
Really?
And yes, and she would let us run drills and I hated that. I really hated that. But at the time, it didn't bother me that much because I was fit and I did cross country and athletics with my friends, and then I played hockey. So that was kind of, so we were four friends and we all ran cross country together and we all did athletics together. But then, we had different sports as well. So two of the friends played netball, the other one played tennis, and I played hockey. So we did some sports together, but some we did our separate things too. But this teacher, I would say, a cross between a tiger and a T-Rex. A T-Rex tiger or a tiger T-Rex, something like that. Especially on the hockey field. But so in a way that, or how she helped to shape me was to teach discipline. So obviously there's rules in hockey. Games start on time. There's no, oh, we wait 5 minutes or we wait 10 minutes. No, starts on time. We also had hockey camps in the middle of winter, freezing, and we have to be on the hockey field at 7 o'clock in the morning, running drills. So that, I think, like the discipline that I have today was actually taught on the hockey field. Well, my parents also had a hand in that, but like how to follow strict rules and how to follow a game play and what to do on the sports field. Who do you give the ball to? How do you do things? And in, I used to play one position and I didn't like the position. I wanted to play a different position. And I kept asking this teacher, please, please give me a chance. Put me on that position. I want to play that position. And one day she was tired of me asking and she put me in that position. So I had to prove myself that I can play this position. And I did. I proved myself and I stayed on that position. And she actually felt terrible for keeping me in the wrong or in a different position, because that was the position that I played in primary school. So eventually she gave in and I played the position that I actually wanted to play. But either one, it didn't matter, because I know how to, or I knew how to play both of them.
That's, I mean, and this hockey teacher, I think there's also something that she probably taught you, which I actually notice as one of the big differences between you and myself. This winning streak, this I'm going to go and win, because that's what sport is. Sport is, on the one side, is of course mostly a team effort.
Yes.
And even if it is a solo sport, there's still usually professionally, there is a backup team of trainers and therapists and coaches and the whole spiel. So you're actually never alone. But the objective of the sport is to win the game within the rules defined and set and monitored. And I suppose your hockey teacher, nice and gentle as she might have been in the classroom, showed the other side of her determination to, okay, I'm going to get these girls and I'm going to make them win.
Yeah. Yes.
the funny thing is that when I turned 18, Germany still had conscription. So you actually had to do 2 years military service at that time, so 1979. On my 18th birthday, I was actually still in Australia, and I didn't return to Germany until the end of 1979. And for some strange reason, they never got me. The military never got me. And being a conscientious objector at that time was actually very difficult. It was fair nigh impossible. It actually became, you'd have to have an argument. It went to court, and you had to prove why you, if it was not on medical grounds, but on moral grounds, why you did not want to do your 2 years, and it was reduced to 18 months and 15 months, etc. You had to prove and argue your case. I got through. I never did my military service, and I, to a certain degree, regret this today, not because I want to learn how to kill somebody, and I don't think that any military person, no matter how high you get in the military, actually wants to do that, because again, there are laws and rules, and there's the Geneva Convention. You know, there is a way to conduct a war. Not that many leaders follow that at this point, but different story. But what I missed, being an only child, is one thing. But then I missed this team spirit and working and doing stuff as a team. Yeah.
Yes.
So I didn't have a very exposed sporting career at school, because my parents didn't like it. It wasn't their world, and they didn't really push me to do any sports. So Saturday mornings I went to German school and learned German rather than go play sports. Didn't do my military service. And there is, as an only child, and there is actually a huge body of experience and education that I am lacking because of choices that my parents made for me, because they didn't know any better or didn't see it any better or didn't agree with it. Yeah. And so, you know, kudos to you that you had this T-Rex tigress woman
teacher
who forced you to do this.
Yes.
And I don't want to rattle on and extend, but I go back to my English teacher in my last year, and this man was a phenomenon. He was a Swede who, for some strange reason, ended up in California, joined the surfing community there, got involved in surfing clubs, ran competitions. And one day in the mid-60s, there was a surfing competition in Sydney in Australia. And he took his surfing club across the Pacific and entered the surfing competition. He liked Sydney so much that he then moved from California somewhere to Sydney and ended up as a high school teacher teaching adolescent boys in a boys-only school English literature, and he got us to read Jane Austen novels and all the stuff that kids in Australia do not want to read for multitude of reasons. Yeah. But his classroom and the school was just this ugly, horrible concrete brick construction. It was soulless. His classroom was an oasis because there were pictures on the wall. And he was the only one who kept that classroom. He said, I'm staying here. This is my classroom.
Yes.
If teachers want me to move, then everything has to move with it. Yeah.
Yes.
And he had this incredibly positive attitude. And he took us kids, 17, 18-year-old kids, to the theatre scene in Sydney. And so we did a lot of, you know, in the evening, he would take us, you know, to watch plays, not in the big theatres, but in the fringe theatres and the little private theatres, etc. So, and one day, I can't remember why, I told him, look, I can't go to watch this play with the others. And he gave me such a dressing down. I did that once and never again. Yeah, I think I was tired of going to my parents and saying, look, I need $10 because Tor Svensson, that was his name, Tor Svensson's taking us to yet another performance of something or rather. And I think I was getting fed up with sort of having to beg money from my parents to pay for excursions, because it wasn't just the theatre ticket, was actually getting to the theatre and then getting back. And it was terribly quite late and you had to take a taxi and blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah, so again, sort of, but, and this is the man I cannot put an animal to, because.
what about a flamingo?
Well, no, and the reason there's actually a very sad and serious story to this. So, of course, when the internet came and sort of Google started and so on and so forth, and this whole thing developed, I actually tried to track him down, and because I was one of these people I had huge respect for.
Yes.
And I dug up stories which I could never verify, but apparently he was a paedophile and he was imprisoned and he died in prison.
Oh dear.
And of course, this completely shattered the image I had of
him. Yes.
I never noticed any abnormal or illegal activity.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it was, and I didn't even know what it was at that stage. I was that naive. But then to sort of read this was heartbreaking. Yeah, because
yes, definitely.
And for that reason, I find it difficult to put an animal to this guy, because, you know, the image I had of him as a teacher, I respected him deeply. But his demise was, I'm disappearing here. His demise was far from good. Yeah.
So, yes.
Anyway, there you go.
So I'm thinking about an Afrikaans teacher that we had in high school. So he was different.
Okay.
He was gay. And he was not afraid to say what he thinks or how he feels about something. And we had this book. They still probably still read it in high school. It's called Kringa and a Boss.
Okay.
there's an English version of the book as well. Mm. But it's about elephants in the Knysna area in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. But years ago, when people came to South Africa to search for gold, and how everyone went to that spot in particular in search of gold, and how the elephants would move around them, like walking circles around them. And then there was this one elephant in particular that the man, the main character in the story, they kind of cross paths all the time. That's where, or how the story goes. And whenever we had to read the story, this teacher would walk into the class and he would say, "Today you are reading. I'm listening." So you would take out the book, and each student has a turn to read two or three pages. But what made him different was the way that he expressed himself. Like, he didn't care what other people thought of him, and he was sharp. He had a very good wit, and his classroom wall, not the walls, the windows, were painted black, completely black on the inside. Because as we sitting in his class, I think the desks, they were red. They were painted red. So if you sit in the classroom, the window is just above your head. So when kids walk past or teachers walk past, everyone would lift their heads to see who's walking on the outside of the class. And he decided he doesn't like that. He painted all the windows black. So now you can't see who's walking outside. Which was good, because now you pay attention to him and you can't see what's going on outside.
I can understand the logic. The fact that he got away with it, I find staggering, because, I mean, at best, the headmaster, I mean, he must have clarified this with the headmaster of the school. And if were there any school inspections, the Board of Education must have inspected them and look, what's this, you know, black windows and a red desk. I mean, this looks very, very
strange.
That's putting it mildly.
I don't know how he got away with it. I really don't know. Because some of the other classes were only the, like the sides of the windows were painted green or painted blue or yellow or orange. And then his windows were completely black.
Weird.
Yes.
But you said something really interesting at the beginning, and I think this is important for this topic, that you basically grew up in the area that you live now. By and large, yeah.
Yes.
And you still meet some teachers.
Yes.
When you were a whippersnapper, running around.
Yes.
In a school uniform, I presume. Yes, of course. Yes.
Yes.
You had a school uniform. And all these years later, you see these teachers. You may say hello to them. You may actually have a little chat with them.
Yes.
And what has changed is, yes, both of you have become older.
Yes.
But the relationship has changed, because technically you probably still see them as a teacher. And you may actually address them as Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so.
Yes.
But you're an adult with your own family, and he's just grown older. And I think that is a really important message, because I wonder, I don't have that. Yeah. My teachers are, if they're still alive, are hundreds of kilometers away. Yeah.
Yes.
I have no contact to anybody in my classes. Yeah. Australia, no way. And in Germany, when I had to do 2.5 years again of this torture, dispersed, et cetera. So I think this transition from being a student and a kid to being an adult and still having contact with those teachers. I mean, that's special. I think
you still have that respect that you had in school. You still have respect for them now, even if you know that they are retired, they are old, much, much older. So if I think about my grade one teacher, I still see her from time to time. And then my grade two teacher is actually a tutor now. She does reading lessons for English and Afrikaans classes, but on a school level. She has her own facilities, but she uses the school's curriculums and things. So she's still around. Then my grade three teacher is in our church. She sees my mom all the time, and I also saw her on that other event that we had at church. I saw her there. She was actually sitting on our table. And then there's a grade seven teacher, or the one English teacher I saw not too long ago in the supermarket. Then there's another Afrikaans teacher. She is living in the old age home now. She's very, very old. But I saw her the other day. She still drives around, but she drives like a maniac. She drives like a crazy person. She actually skipped a stop street and drove right in front of me. And I knew it was her because I could see her face. I thought,
Dear.
wow, okay.
Who's teaching whom now, yeah?
Yes. And it was strange. I don't know if she was in a bad mood or if she's, I don't know, but she was like this prim and proper teacher. Always makeup, always hair. She taught the girls how to sit down, how to bend down, how to do this, how to that, do that, how to take care of yourself. And she was always complaining, wash your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face. She was one of those teachers, but now she's very, very old. So I still see her. She lives in this area somewhere.
The question is, do they still have the same dignity today that they tried to project when you were a student of theirs?
They are more relaxed. That's one thing that I've noticed. Like, obviously they are still the same as they were, but I would say much more relaxed because they don't have that stress of all these noisy kids they have to teach something. And like, retired. Most of them are retired because what that was 20 years ago, 25 years ago. So most of them are retired. They are very old. And I think they don't have the stress that they used to have. But the dignity is still there. The mannerisms, that is the same. Personality is the same. Less angry now, except for the other one who drove in front of me.
She was having a bad day.
She's very angry now. She was angry then. She's angrier now. But yes, they are still the same.
Shall we continue talking or shall we call it a day?
Think let's call it a day. Before I remember some more things to talk about.
This is the trouble. It just leads from
Yes.
one to another.
Yes.
I did want to mention to Sarah, but she popped out very quickly. I have
Yes.
already updated her points. So
Okay.
she's got 240 points on her account. It happens that quick. It should happen
Yes.
quicker, but okay, so she's catching up with you.
Oh dear. How much do I get for my thoughts and the reflections? Do I get something? Is that just for fun?
I've no, I've been thinking. No, I have,
I just do
I
it for fun.
well, we as the organizers and the managers and the head honchos and whatever you want job title we want to give each other on this should actually be free of all of this. But I did actually, I was kind of anticipating this question and I was sort of thinking, okay,
I'm
so
just joking.
well, I'm not. I'm German, I'm angry, I don't have humor. Ask my wife. No, don't. That Because, well, this morning's article, I mean, the topic is not new. It's been recycled many times, but it came across so you. And I mean, I went into overdrive.
Yes.
Sent it out to Isma and to Ritish. Liked it on your, no, loved it on your Facebook, not Facebook, Instagram. No, what are we? LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn and reposted it. Because it was just, and I, because I also knew some of the background information that you were alluding
Yes.
to, because we discussed it yesterday.
Yes.
So I knew exactly where you were coming from. I thought, oh, wow, fantastic. Yeah. So I'm going to call you Fruit Loop here. I'm pulling rank. I'm doing the mayor's bit, the boss of all of this.
Yes.
Don't stop.
Okay.
I've said this numerous times.
Yes.
Sometimes I know it's not possible, because there's so much else happening.
Yes.
But do not stop.
Okay.
And Sarah, if you listen to this, you get extra bonus points for commenting. So we'll give Fruit Loop some points for publishing, because again, I can pull rank here. But I think, and I wanted to actually push this article to Sylvie, but that didn't happen. I might do it tomorrow morning.
Yes.
So this is an order. Do not stop.
Okay. I've been the rainbow one that I posted yesterday. I've been thinking about the rainbow one since I went to the doctor the first time. And there was also you sent me a picture of a rainbow,
Yes.
and that is actually when it started, when it came to me that I want to do something about a rainbow. But I had some things to talk about and then some things that I didn't want to mention. And so yesterday's post wasn't as fun as today's.
I mean, it I mean, it was it, I mean, you did credit by writing who the quote was from, and
Yes.
that kind of jarred. I thought, oh God, she's quoting Dolly. Not that I have anything against Dolly Parton, but no, but okay, but I mean, it's still a very good post. You have done
Yes.
better. You have done better.
Yes.
But today's was, it hit the spot. It hit the spot.
I was also like yesterday's, I also thought that it's a bit dull, but I'm getting back to into it because I haven't done it for I think a month.
Something like that. Yeah, I know what it's like,
Yes.
because I want to do more writing, but life gets in the way. Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of which, Pineapple 7,
Pineapple.
if you want to have a look at it, and I think Nuggets is a little put out
Okay.
because he's not the VIP.
Oh, that's good. Nuggets doesn't have to know.
I think he already does.
Okay. Okay, I'll have a look.
Thank you, because I'm meeting Martin on Friday. We can continue the other saga, because that's hold. It's an, again, my uncle. Yeah, it's not finished, but I
Yes.
can't. Yeah, it's sort of in a holding pattern, and I can take it up on Friday. Yes,
Yes.
thank you. Right, go.
Okay. Enjoy your evening.
You too. Yeah,
Thank you.
you're gonna have the final word, because we're actually still recording this.
Yes, I know we are still recording. I thought if you, I wondered, did you stop?
No.
Okay. So final word, I think that there's a lot of lessons that we can learn from life, and one that Frank and I learned yesterday or last night. Mind your own business. With all the social media things going on and happening. But sometimes it's good to look back and remember lessons that we learned. No matter how big or how small or how big the impact on your life was and who you learned it from, I think that, well, a lot of that is a part of us and who we became. No matter how old they are and how old we are and if you still see the old teachers in the supermarket or not. There's always something, some lesson, even if we don't remember it today, maybe we'll remember it tomorrow, but there's always something that will come back to remind us. Yeah. So that is the final word. Thank you.
Thank you. We will see each other tomorrow at the usual time,
yes,
at the usual place. I'm going to stop
yes
recording.